Weeks podcast. It's the championship game preview. We'll talk about Ravens, Pats, 49ers, Giants, and all the rest of the news that's going around in the NFL world. Ryan Wilson, what's up?
Nothing much. How are you doing? As I seem to recall, you were hunting, not actually working. Is that right?
Yes. It would be called hunting if I could shoot.
Have you gotten shot? No, I haven't been shot.
It's pretty. Yeah, we're actually doing what they refer to down here as a cast and blast, which I'm not kidding. Which means that we go hunting in the morning. I'll be up at 4:30 in the morning to go hunting. We will shoot some ducks or shoot some guns into the air is what I do.
Yeah.
And then about 10 o'clock we'll break for lunch and then go fishing for a few hours, then go back out and hunt some more.
All right, now that we have bored everyone into oblivion, what are we supposed to be talking about football-wise? Sorry for bringing it up. I just thought it was important to let everyone know that
you... To set the stage, yeah. I mean, my parents, yeah.
You know what? Hey. Because teams are going to go hunting this weekend, so there's your
That's
segment.
Right. I'm hunting like Joe Flacco. Sure, why not? Ravens and Patriots is
the... Hey, by the way, you may have missed this while you're out in the bush, but Joe Flacco apparently was on a skateboard in his driveway the first time in his life. He just wanted to see if he could do it. A neighbor... Call the Ravens organization looking for Ozzie Newsom to say, hey, get this guy off the skateboard. We need to win a Super Bowl. He left a message with Ozzie's secretary, who somehow got out to the media. So Joe had to talk about how...
Are you messing with me?
No, this is a true story. It was
Oh, my God.
It's on a lot of places. We saw our good buddies at Shutdown Corner mention it, too. And I just thought it was funny. I'm not a Joe Flacco apologist, but this is even beyond comprehension in terms of people bellyaching about things that people do in their private time.
But how does everybody know that it was his first time on the skateboard?
No, Flacco had to talk about it after the fact when the media brought it to his attention. He said, look, this is the first time ever. I want to see if I could do it.
What is he doing? Getting on a skateboard for the first time in his life championship game.
Are you serious? Were you the one that called?
I would have if I was Joe Flacco's neighbor and a Ravens fan. I'd be furious.
I think he literally went 10 feet along his driveway, and for the first time in 27 years, that's the first and probably last.
All right, I'm done with Joe Flacco now. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm done. Right. I'm done with him.
Listen, to be fair, he didn't have a helmet on, but the eyebrows and the Fu Manchu would have broken his fall.
That's true. I don't understand that. I mean, that is the by definite. Like you always hear about like stupid stuff.
Like
that
Ben
guys,
Roethlisberger, like, for example.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Roethlisberger on the motorcycle. You mean? I mean, that's just
right. Yeah.
But that's obviously a little bit worse.
Well, that's the point. I don't have any issue with Joe Flacco doing this. If he was just doing, he wasn't like holding onto the back of a bumper, you know, with your buddies trying to jump over curbs.
I just don't, you know. See, like I'm fine with like Josh Freeman went to a shooting range the week before during the Bucs bye week. Like I'm fine with that. That's something he does traditionally. But this is before the AFC championship game, and Flacco is, I mean, like skateboarding for the first time. I mean, why? Like
maybe like, his cousin was there. I don't know the particulars. I just know that he said he was on it very briefly over the length of this driveway. I don't know if his driveway is 2 miles long or 30 feet long.
But it's a skateboard. It's not like it's something new. Like you need like I should try this out. This is a once in a lifetime experience. It's a skateboard. Just wait 3 weeks. Try the skateboard then and don't break your arm before the AFC championship game. I don't understand that. That makes me mad.
Wow. Interesting. I thought it was sort of funny that people were so up in arms about it. I thought it was along the lines of people blowing out of proportion Ed Reed's comments, but you seem to think it's much worse.
Well, it's just like Joe Flacco is like, nobody takes me seriously. I'm a great quarterback. And then he's like, I'm going to be on a skateboard.
Now watch me do this ollie.
like, shouldn't you be like studying film? You think Tom Brady's on a skateboard today?
No, but that's because he's married to Giselle.
Yeah, well, he's taking. Yeah. Anyway.
Have you seen Tom Brady dancing in Brazil and wearing those goofy hats at the Kentucky Derby? Tom Brady has his own issues.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Anyway, so back to the game. But see, that's the difference there. Like,
yeah,
that's why nobody takes Joe Flacco seriously.
Well, that and he's not a very good quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think? I don't think we talked about the Ed Reed Flacco comments. What did you think? I was actually kind of okay with it. What Ed Reed said.
Is he lying?
What do you mean?
Was he telling a lie when he said what he said about Joe Flacco?
No, he was being...
What he said, basically, for people who didn't see it, and if you didn't see it, you're probably just back from Mars, but that Joe Flacco, at times during the Houston game, looked rattled, which isn't an overstatement. In fact, it might be an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally fair thing to say. I mean, I think what I took it as was Ed Reed was telling telling the media that he felt like Joe Flacco is sometimes hesitant to pull the trigger on plays downfield, and he is. And I felt like Ed Reed was kind of saying, take a shot, man. We got your back.
Yeah, that's right. And look, he's played with Joe Flacco since 08. This isn't – the way Joe Flacco plays isn't news to him. He knows it better than anyone. And he just happened to verbalize it when someone – I'm sure he didn't answer the question – you know, provide this information unprovoked. Someone asked him a question, and he was answering it. And I don't think it's an issue at all. By the way, you probably didn't see this either, but at practice today, Flacco and Ed Reed staged a fake
argument. Was doing handsprings.
Well, they faked the state.
Okay, that's fine.
I see, yes. Yeah. They staged a fake argument, and then they went into the handsprings and did a little gymnastics routine for it.
Now, see, that's kind of funny. And look, yeah. I mean, I've always been pro-Flacco. I will say that
I didn't know that.
Always, no, I mean, not like pro-Flacco, but I mean, I've always been kind of like...
There's Cam Newton, and there's Jimmy Clausen, and in between there's Flacco. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, just that, I mean, I always kind of felt like he got a bad rap.
Why did you feel like he got a bad rap? I mean, listen, it's not like he followed Johnny Unitas. He followed Kyle Bowler. What's the bad
rap? Well, here's my thing, is that if you don't make it to the playoffs... If you don't win a playoff game, if you don't make it to the playoffs in like your first 5 years, people are like, "God, I just can't get there," you know, just can't make it happen. If you do make it to the playoffs and don't win games in the playoffs, you're like, maybe he's just not a big game quarterback. If you make it to the playoffs and win games, but you have a good defense and a good running game, then people are like, "Well, kind of a system cube or kind of a game manager." If you don't make it to the playoffs, then you're like you get ripped as a quarterback. If you do make it to the playoffs, don't win games, you get ripped as a quarterback. There's always some sort of level of failure until you win. I mean, I understand, you know, like it's like the circles of hell for quarterbacks. Like if you make it to the championship game or you've made it to the playoffs every year in your career, and you've had, you know, decent success, but you're not winning the whole thing, but you are winning some playoff games, then you get the Joe Flacco circle of hell.
Wait a second, though. Listen, Peyton Manning came into the league in 98. They didn't win the Super Bowl in 2006. He was the Phil Mickelson of the NFL for the longest time, but he was never accused of being sucky at his job.
Well, no, because he was playing with the it's a different circle of hell. That's the worst circle of hell when you're the great player. The Dan Marino. Peyton Manning's not there anymore. It's the Dan Marino circle of hell because you don't want to be.
Peyton Manning was there up until 06. But I think
correct.
I think that's the less. Well, it's only the worst.
No
circle.
Way. That's
it's,
way
it's
worse.
The worst circle if you go through your career and never win. But it's potentially it's while you're going through it, as Peyton Manning was until 06. Everyone knows you have the ability to do it, so it's not like no one doubts you.
Yeah, but see, the world is littered with crappy quarterbacks who won Super Bowls. There are only so many great athletes who didn't win a championship in their sport, like really great ones, like Charles Barkley, Dan Marino. I mean, you know, it's that ringless group, and you know that eats at them more than any. Like that's the ultimate hell if you're a superstar athlete. Rivers is a different. Rivers is
NC State guy. He's
he's in the NC State circle of hell. It's a whole different level of.
And that's
level
about 400 floors. That's about 400 floors down from where yeah. Joe Flacco currently resides. So
that's where they operate the furnace for hell.
It's actually below the furnace. He has to take a flight of stairs up to the furnace. So okay, so we've taken our shots at Flacco. We've supported Flacco now, or you have at least. What's going to happen in this game? Because look, we'll set it up real quickly. Here's the deal. The Ravens defense is good. The Ravens offense is sometimes good, sometimes really bad. It revolves around Ray Rice. Cam Cameron's insane. And the Patriots, who have yet to beat a team over 500, are playing their best football ever, of the season at least.
Yeah, sure. And look, it's going to – now, this is where the Joe Flacco thing comes into play, because he's playing against a terrible defense with bad cornerback. I mean, they've got Julian Edelman in the secondary. So he has no excuse for playing poorly.
Who actually is available for Halloween parties?
Julian Edelman or Joe Flacco?
Edelman, because he got arrested for allegedly doing naughty things that the charges were later dropped. That was my joke.
Ah, yes. I don't get how. Anyway, whatever.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Look, this is a lose-lose for Flacco.
In what sense?
Well, because they're not going to win. I mean, the only way he can win is if he has a monster game and the Ravens win.
Now, absolutely not. They'll win if Ray Rice plays well and the defense does.
No. That's what I'm saying. Oh. I'm not saying the only way they will win. I'm saying the only way people give him credit is if he has a monster game and the Ravens win. But that ain't going to happen. If he's having a monster game, the Ravens are down by 30.
But what's funny, and here's what Steelers fans will tell you. The only time Joe Flacco plays like a franchise quarterback against a really good defense is against the
regular
Steelers.
Season against the Steelers.
Yeah, he goes bonkers. But against lesser teams or teams of equal quality, he's just an average guy. And I don't know what the explanation for that is. For the longest time, until 2011, he looked afraid to play the Steelers, and that certainly wasn't the case this season. But I don't know what has to happen for it to all come together. I mean, even
I think he's trying to take the – and you see this in his press conferences. I think he's trying to take the, you know, whatever, I don't care approach. I mean, big deal.
He says that, but then the next words out of his mouth are, but why are you guys always making fun of me?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's trying to act like a disgruntled teenager, but he's really, like, he really wants to be wanted. I mean, he's a –
Right, he's the disgruntled teenager with way too much facial hair for his age.
He's a teenage girl with a Fu Manchu.
Someone will invite you to the prom if you quit begging about it.
Yeah, so I think that to me, you know, Flacco aside, I mean, he's going to do what he's going to do. He's not going to have a monster game, I don't think. If he does, again, it's problems for them. I think Ray Rice will be able to get going for the Ravens. I would be shocked if the Patriots. The only person that's going to stop Ray Rice is Cam Cameron.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not sure, you know, it all depends on the pressure that the Ravens can get on Tom Brady. We've seen time and time again, Tom Brady is not great when he's dealing with, he's not Tom Brady last weekend on Saturday night eviscerating the Broncos great. When you get pressure on him.
Because he wasn't great in the middle of the season with the Steelers and the Giants were getting pressure on him.
Right.
And his receiver, he seemed to be off timing-wise with his receivers. But I want to – listen, the Ravens have a great set of tight ends, Dixon and Pitta, Dixon especially. Sure. But I want to see how the Ravens' defense matches up with Gronkowski and Hernandez. Hernandez actually missed part of practice on Thursday, I believe, because of concussion-like symptoms or whatever they choose
to
call
it. No chance he doesn't play.
But Gronkowski is worth about 1.5 players anyway, so even if Hernandez for some reason can't go, that's still a huge matchup issue. And this is, you know, counting the fact that Chad Ochocinco has 15 catches all season. So that's I think the Ravens should be able to score. The problem is their offense is so hit or miss because they can put together a fantastic 12-play drive and then turn around and have 14 straight three and outs. So the problem is that unless they find a way the Ravens defense to slow down what Tom Brady is now being able to do, I think the Patriots could score at least 28 points. Is that too much?
I don't know. Not at all. No. For the Patriots? Hell no.
Well, against that defense, though.
Yeah, it's a really good defense. I mean, the difference is, you know, when you have those tight ends, it just creates such matchup problems. Like, the Ravens have great linebackers, but they're a little bit, you know. Well, no, I mean, they do. I mean, Suggs and
yeah, but I think Suggs is more as a pure rusher.
Right, but what I'm saying is like it.
I'm not counting Ray Lewis is what I'm saying. Okay.
No, exactly. But when you put Suggs in, I mean, when you put those tight ends in, it really nullifies what the defense can do. It's like, go ahead and rush with your linebackers.
Right.
I mean, I'll hit Gronkowski all day. I mean, like if you don't drive your linebackers into coverage, you know, we're going to eat you up with our tight ends. I mean, that's the difference, I think. So I think that they have to put these guys in coverage some and hope that they can slow down the Pats' tight end attack. If they can do that, then it's a whole different ballgame.
And a little secret, hitting Gronkowski doesn't make him less likely to
make him stronger.
It makes him stronger. That's exactly right.
Gronk so, angry.
So I saw the picks. I was surprised that I don't want to spoil the surprise
I don't think it's spoiling it.
No, that's true. It's out there for everyone to consume. But I was shocked that everyone, all the quote-unquote experts. Oh, by the way, before I get to the picks, I saw one commenter say, Will Brinson, how can you go 159 and 105 and call yourself an expert straight up? So how do you respond to that criticism?
I take chances, sir. I take chances. Did anyone else pick the Seahawks over the Ravens, sir?
I think not.
Not even I got – yeah. Whatever. I mean, I – yeah.
Hey. Haters are going to hate. But everyone, all the experts picked the Giants in the other game, and they picked the Patriots in this game. I'm surprised.
I hate it. I hate it now. Now I want to go with Ravens and 49ers.
That's right, because Prisco is usually the loose cannon when it comes to picks. And even he likes the Patriots, which concerns me in terms of my
– Vegas loves them too. They were opened up as a 7.5-point favorite.
Do we know what it is now?
It's down to 7 now.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I mean, I love the Ravens against the spread, but I can see why. I mean, the money line, the Ravens are plus 250. There's no faith in Baltimore at all. I don't really get it. I mean, they match up well.
They're so underwhelmed. They sort of do. And Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, pointed this out earlier in the week. Everyone keeps pointing to the 2009 wild card playoff game where the Patriots got steamrolled by the Ravens 33-14. But
sure.
2010, the Ravens lost to the Patriots in overtime. So it's not like that. Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh, whatever his name is, Johnny H has the Patriots number. And I always go back to this. It's rarely the case. In fact, I don't know if there's an instance that we can point to where Bill Belichick is outcoached on you know, kind of rematch settings. Now that the Ravens didn't play the Patriots this year, but I'm pretty sure that by the time this game is over, it will be clear that the Patriots knew what they had to do to stop the Ravens, and they did it much better than the Ravens were able to stop the Patriots.
No, that's true, and I think there's something to be said for how pissed off the Patriots are right now.
What are they pissed off about?
Well, I mean, they're not like they're disrespected or anything, but you saw angry. I think that they not pissed off, fired up, I guess is the better phrase, because they know what people like to be like, hey, the Patriots haven't won a playoff game in six.
And usually that type of stuff, well, Prisco likes to say talk doesn't matter, but I think in some instances it does. If you asked the Patriots last week if they heard all the talk about Tim Tebow,
oh, hell yeah.
I guarantee you they were listening intently and they took it out on Tebow, who, what happened? He had a collapsed lung or something by the time that game was over?
Not collapsed lung. I think it was
fluid in his lungs or something.
Fluid in his lung, bruised ribs.
Yeah.
He's banged up.
He wasn't feeling good.
And then, I mean, like, if you're the Patriots, too, you are looking at the four teams left, and you are by far, I mean, your defense might not be great, but you are by far and away the most explosive offense.
Yeah.
Giants are close. Giants would be a good game. But you feel like if you play the 49ers and the Ravens and you've got, you know, enough time to prepare, you can pick them apart if your offense is rolling along.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think their biggest issue, and I guarantee you this is what the Bill Belichick's game plan will be, is going to be to stop Ray Rice. Because why wouldn't you? You do that.
Stack. No, they are totally going to do that. They're going to stack the box. I mean, not like, you know, not like the
Steelers and the Broncos.
Steelers against, yeah, Broncos. Yeah, they're not going to do that. But, I mean, they're going to say, go ahead, Joe Flacco, beat us. And Bill Belichick will do some things that will mess with Joe Flacco, I think.
Because in that first matchup in 2009, the wild card game, the first play of the game, Ray Rice went for 80 yards.
85 yards, yeah. And so, Wes Welker was hurt, and they didn't have the tight ends.
So that sort of set the tone right there of how that day was going to go. But I will say that the Ravens defense did get to Brady, and he had a rough day. But I just don't see that happening again.
Interestingly, Andy, our buddy Andy Benoit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listened to the podcast on Wednesday yet.
Most certainly not, but go ahead.
That's cool. I think he said this on the podcast, or maybe he said it. Anyway, somebody told him that Helo Dinata is hurt.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's banged up. He's been not healthy, completely healthy all season.
He's been a non-factor, really. I mean, not and a non-factor.
No, he has not been the player that he was last year.
Oh, absolutely not. Defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah, I think he earlier this season, I know he had like a deep thigh bruise. I don't know what the issue is now, but, you know, if he's basically playing on one leg, he's a lot easier to block than if he's the mancha. I don't know if you've ever seen that video of him when he was in high school playing rugby.
No.
Lord have mercy on those poor kids trying to bring him down, because there are no pads, and he is approximately 12 times bigger than everyone else on the field, and he is just shredding people. It was hard to watch, but, you know.
Awesome.
Get out of the way.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just lie down and play possum.
Play dead. That's right.
But Andy pointed out that Nada's been getting single blocked.
Yikes.
Single, which if that's happening, the Patriots are going to steamroll them. Because if he's being eliminated by one dude,
yeah,
then there's too many other people to block, and then you've got the mismatches with the tight ends. It's a whole different ballgame. I might take the Pats against the spread.
So what do you – what are the percentages here, just straight up, that you like the Ravens here?
I'll say 33%.
Okay. No, that's –
I might
go, no, I might go a, a, smidge higher, like 35 or 36, but not much. I don't feel good about their chances.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good point about the, you know, the 09 game. It's like, hey, you know, very physical Ravens team. They are a very physical team. I mean, if they can get physical with the Patriots and get physical with Tom Brady, it changes the dynamic. But I don't know if they can do that. I mean, Tom Brady is, he's not like he's sitting back there holding on to the ball.
You know what else?
And it's not like Baltimore's secondary is insane.
No, that's right. I was actually thinking about this while you were saying reliving the 09 memories. But the two losses they had to the teams that were above 500, the Steelers and the Giants, they were dismantled basically by the Steelers, and yet they had a chance to win that up until the last series when Brady fumbled. So even though they were getting outplayed handily,
that game was over after the first drive. And yeah, you're right, they had a chance to win.
And the same thing in the Giants game. The defense played maybe the worst game of the year, and that's saying something for this defense. And they were still in it till the end. So I don't think there's a situation where the Ravens blow these guys out. I could be wrong.
No. Huh.
But if that's the case, and we know that the Ravens can play poorly against crappy teams, they play better against better teams. But they could have lost last week against a pretty good team with a rookie quarterback. So I think that's just more reason for me to think that the Patriots are going to win here. And I wouldn't be surprised if they covered, really.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And look, John Harbaugh is a great coach. I mean, I think he's been to the playoffs all four years as head coach of the Ravens. I give him credit; he's been to the playoffs all 4 years.
I'll give his brother credit because his brother actually turned a program.
Oh my God! Do you think whatever? The point being is that last week against
respect
the Texans,
is not given; respect is earned.
Who said that?
Brian Dawkins. You see, he yells in the huddle before.
But last week against the Texans, at the end of the game, all you got to do is run the ball, burn the timeouts, kick the field goal.
You're making my point for me.
All I'm saying is you ain't got control over Cam Cameron. That worries me. So, and I'll take Bill Belichick over that any day of the week.
Okay.
Anyway, moving along to the other Harbaugh Bowl. Giants at 49ers. It's going to be a nasty, rainy day. The 49ers are favored by 2.5. And I was all aboard the 49ers bandwagon. And at some point, my picks were due, and I went Giants. So
everybody did. Why did everyone go Giants? Did they not watch what those guys did to the Saints last week?
Yeah, I know.
You could argue that the Giants did the same thing to the Packers, and they're not afraid to play on the road. But, God, the Saints – this isn't week one. The Saints are – I mean, the 49ers are clearly a very good team. I don't know if they're better than the Giants. We'll find out soon. But no one out of five guys picked the 49ers to win.
Honestly, I thought when I picked the Giants, I would be in the minority.
East Coast bias.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Maybe so. I mean, we are all East Coast guys. I think that – I don't know. Here's the thing is that you look at the way that the Niners scored points, right? They did it by Drew Brees making really dumb interceptions.
I agree. Yeah.
Two really bad fumbles. One was a brain knocker from Pierre Thomas that's okay. He just got crushed.
Yeah.
But the other was, I think it was a bad fumble, right? Wasn't it Courtney Roby on a punt return?
No, it was Darren Sproles had a crappy punt fumble too.
That's right. Yeah. So they had five. Yeah. Two. Yeah. That's right. Three fumbles, two bad fumbles, one explainable fumble, two picks. The Giants got 17 points off of that, I believe. Or the 49ers got 17 points off of that. And then the 49ers got the other two touchdowns when Greg Williams took a nap in the fourth quarter and decided to single cover Vernon Davis.
Greg Williams Giants, and Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, I mean, and Roman Harper. I mean, the Giants are not going to do that. They're going to say Michael Crabtree beat us.
Well, here's my only – well, one of my rebuttals to that. The 49ers led the league in turnovers, in creating turnovers this season. And while fumbles are random in terms of who recovers them, interceptions are – that's a skill. And those guys are ball hawkers, and they do hit people
hard. Yeah. They get to it quick, too.
And Peyton, Eli will throw some interceptions. And they will sometimes at offense have some crazy turnovers where you're like, really? What just happened there? My Bradshaw likes to fumble. But even Brandon Jacobs fumbles occasionally. So – There will be opportunities, and I think it will just come down to whether – and this was a problem early in the season for the 49ers – whether they could turn those turnovers into points, 7 points or 6 points – I mean, 3 points, because for most of the season they've been kicking field goals. That's why David Akers had something like 4,000 attempts.
Set the record. The NFL record, yeah.
So if they can do what they did against the Saints and score touchdowns as opposed to field goals, they'll be cooking with gas, as Hank Hill likes to say.
Quoting Hank Hill, huh? Mm-hmm. The other thing I like about the Giants, their pass rush is better than it was the last time these two teams played. I think Alex Smith is better than he was the last time these two teams played, but he just doesn't have a lot of weapons. I mean, they put two guys on Vernon Davis the first time they played. He didn't have a big game. I think he might have caught a touchdown, but he didn't have a big game.
You know what? I'm actually thinking we did our rankings and Alex Smith was third, and Joe Flacco was of course a distant fourth.
Distant fourth.
But you know what? This will be a very important game for Alex Smith, not only for his mental state, but in terms of going forward, the kind of money he'll be getting this offseason and where position he might end up. He could have another breakdown sort of Joe Flacco-type game, because how many times has he come off a huge game like this in such a huge setting and followed it up with another huge game? This is probably the biggest game of his career last week against the Saints. So
he's the biggest game of his career.
He's in uncharted territory in terms of how to deal with success.
This is something he probably hasn't done since college, I would guess.
Yeah, he was Urban Meyer, right? At Utah?
Yeah, he was Urban Meyer in Utah. Yeah. And it'd be interesting, too, because the only two NFL quarterbacks that Urban's produced, I believe, Alex Smith, Tim Tebow. But just food for thought, if it could take Tim Tebow a while to develop and the right coach.
Well, it depends on how big his hands are.
By the way, Tebow's worse. We're worse about Tebow than I am about the Panthers, or you are about the Steelers.
Who is?
It's just impossible to not talk about Tim Tebow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, he pervades every conversation, not just football related, but life related. He's everywhere.
Right. All right. So Smith, last time, 19-30, 242, a touchdown and a pick. Pretty good numbers.
Yeah. Ran for one.
Yeah, Vernon Davis, 3 catches, 40 yards, 1 touchdown. If he puts up 3 catches, 40 yards, 1 touchdown this week,
they'll lose.
Yeah. Frank Gore only had 6 carries. He was hurt.
Yeah, that's another
big thing. You look at Brandon Jacobs. God, this is Ahmad Bradshaw was hurt. Brandon Jacobs led the Giants in rushing, 18 carries, 55 yards.
That won't do it either. How many passes did Eli attempt?
26 of 40, 311, 2 TDs, 2 picks.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, no, I mean, they can totally turn the ball over.
What, do you have the spread in front of you? Oh, you said 2.5.
Two and a half.
What's the over-under?
42.
Yeah, that's a good over-under. I actually like the under.
I know, right? Yeah, I like the under, too. That's 6 touchdowns. But if you look at the scoring for the first time they played, it was like the Saints game. So nothing but field goal. There had been one touchdown until the fourth quarter. Then they scored. They scored 3 times in the final 13 minutes. All 4 of the touchdowns were scored in like a 20-minute span at the end of the game. So all field goals leading up to that, which is interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, yeah, I mean, I think I would like the under, too. I mean, that's, 20-27 was the last score, but that's a flurry of stuff. I think they'll be a little more cautious this time. Maybe the biggest thing is how whether Victor Cruz and Akeem Nix and Mario Manningham to a degree can break long runs after passes, because the 49ers were so good against the Saints about making sure that if somebody caught a ball, they caught a hit in the mouth.
You know what the difference is, though? The Giants are used to taking hits. They're a much tougher bunch offensively.
The Saints, totally, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that'll play in their favor. They won't enjoy getting hit, but at least they're used to it. They won't be intimidated by the idea of Deshaun Golson knocking their teeth out.
Right. So, and maybe they'll use Dante Whitner's aggressiveness in their favor.
Yeah. So I think the more I talk about this, the more I'm leaning towards the Giants, and especially the whole Alex Smith question mark. Which Alex Smith will show up? I don't think he'll play like Joe Flacco when Joe Flacco played against the Jaguars, but he can't do what he did last week again this week, I don't think.
Well, and it's not like Smith was incredible until late in the game.
Well, he made some amazing throws.
Yeah. I guess they had
mostly to Vernon Davis.
Well, no, they had the first touchdown to Vernon Davis, and then he had a nice slant to Crabtree. I mean, they run slants.
But the ball he threw to Vernon Davis down the sidelines, that was a nice throw.
Are you talking about later or early in the game?
Yeah, later, not the touchdown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Oh, that thing was a teardrop. That thing was beautiful.
Yeah.
And
but he did a lot of damage with his feet, which is something else that
Johnson
threw about.
No, I mean, look, if Alex Smith has the same game he had last week, then
they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl, and then they got a shot to win it against somebody, probably the Patriots.
I'm now at the point where I think I would be okay if the 49ers won the Super Bowl, because that means that Jim Harbaugh showed up his first year and won it, and his brother's still stuck on zero.
I might walk away if I won the Super Bowl. No, I'm just kidding.
In related news, Jim Harbaugh has said that he would coach both the 49ers and the Ravens next season to help his brother win the Super Bowl.
Just to help John get a ring. All right, so you got the – I got the Giants, obviously. You going Giants or 49ers?
Giants covering all 2.5 points. If they win, they cover, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wrong way in the 2.5.
I have the Giants winning and covering. I live dangerously. All right, let's take a spin around the rest of the news. Steve Spagnuolo in as coordinator for the Saints. Speaking of bad defense against the 49ers.
They're going to be a lot better.
I love that. I think it's a great hire. Good hires by the Falcons and the Saints. I hate it for Cam Newton and the Panthers because they have to face Mike Nolan and Steve Spags defenses two times a year now.
Well, I think this team, even though the season's not over, I think the Saints are already the favorite in the NFC heading into next year because their defense, if Spags holds to form like he did when he was with the Giants, is going to be much improved than it was with Greg Williams, who is crazy and loves to blitz, but I never thought he was a top five defensive coordinator.
No, with Williams, it's like your defense is good if you get a ton of turnover. I mean, obviously your defense is good if you get a ton of turnovers, but he's not like – does it predicate it? Like the 49ers were, you know, first against the rush, you know, 16th against the pass this year. They had an elite defense, but they had a lot of turnovers. But like Greg Williams was second in the league in turnovers in 2009, and I think they were like 21st against the pass and the rush. I mean, there's not that good on defense. But
they are awesome with a 45-point lead, though, which will be interesting to see how things work out in St. Louis.
No, I thought that was a great point. You mentioned that in the post. You were like, Spags comes in, you know, on a team where the best weapon isn't Vilma, Ellis, or Smith. It's Drew Brees.
Yeah, because defense wins championships, but not in New Orleans. It starts with Drew Brees, and then you build everything else out from there.
Well, and it's a lot easier to operate a defense when you can say, all right, boys, we're up 35. Go at the quarterback.
And you know what? I'm sure Williams has had this conversation thousands of times with Sean Payton. Even if the game is close, he can say, you know what? I'm going to take a chance here because even if we get burned defensively and give up points, guess who's coming back on the field in two plays?
Drew Brees.
That's right. So there you can say that about Sam Bradford, but the problem is he might get his arm broken or throw an interception through no fault of his own, but that's the reality of playing in St. Louis as opposed to playing in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, so, yeah, I like it. Good hire. What do you think about Rob Lowe?
I think that
was insane. Yeah, it was awesome. It was totally awesome. It's the highest, the most read story on CBS, I think, for the past 2 days. I kid you not. I logged on to do this podcast, and I really haven't been on my computer since Thursday night, right around 6 o'clock after the Rob Lowe stuff happened. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Sorry, was doing stuff, and I logged on. I went to Google Trends just for some reason. And I was like, what is it? I was like, have they not updated since yesterday?
The number one trend still up there.
Rob Lowe, Peyton Manning. I mean, what's going on? I mean, it's like, what's the deal?
I saw it, and I'm just flabbergasted that people in the media, the sports media, are so – had to stop everything and kind of follow up on this and see whether it's true or not. Who cares? It's Rob Lowe. Why would Rob Lowe be breaking news? And if he is breaking news, that means they're not doing their job. Did you see you probably didn't see it. Jim Irsay said some really weird tweet about
Rob Lowe's deep throat.
I thought maybe for a second that Irsay's Twitter feed got hacked, but then I remembered it was Jim Irsay who was at one point claiming to be in Mississippi looking for Brett Favre.
Yeah, didn't he basically like Rob Lowe's going to remake Deep Throat as a porno with like four clowns or something?
It was the type of thing that you would never expect an NFL owner to tweet out.
Just say,
But anyway, I thought it was sort of funny. I think the funniest part isn't that a guy who works whose fake job is in Pawnee, Indiana, was breaking news on Peyton Manning, but that the whole world stopped. And I don't know why people are giving Rob Lowe such a hard time and hating on the guy. I love Rob Lowe.
I do too. Yeah, I don't get that either. I like his character literally.
Literally, yes.
Literally, he's not the funniest guy on Parks and Rec, but literally the best boss on Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, it's a great show. It's a slam dunk show.
The second worst thing to come out of all this is the Twitter avalanche of people tweeting things about Rob Lowe is breaking.
Molly Ringwald is breaking. Yes. It's like, no, granted, at first it's funny.
But the problem is when you tweet something out, you don't realize that, you know, 20 million other people are tweeting the same thing and some variation and usually less funny.
And look, if you show up for the – if you show up and find out about the Rob Lowe stuff 30 minutes too late
– save it.
Don't – no. Yeah, exactly. Don't – save put it. Put it back in the bag, pal. There's no
– you've seen it.
Yeah. Everybody's – if you show up to Twitter 30 minutes after something's happened, that joke's already been made.
That's right. In internet years, that's like 10 years.
I landed – well, not me personally, but the Eye on NFL landed two reactions to the Rob Lowe news and in the Indianapolis Star, they did the Indy Sports page did best reactions to the Rob Lowe news, and we got two of them.
Oh yeah, I saw that they tweeted our account. Were you responsible for the original tweets?
Yeah, and then Hasselback retweeted us. I said that.
Oh, you did the Tommy Boy thing.
Yeah, if Rob Lowe is wrong, he needs to reenact the final scene of Tommy Boy. That's pretty funny. And then I
said, shoes cost more than your life.
Yeah, and then the thing drops in his nuts. And that's what I said. And then the other one, I'm trying to think, what was the other one that got in there?
You know, the most amazing thing about Rob Lowe is that he hasn't aged 1 year in 30 years. He looks exactly the same from Tommy Boy as he did from the one in Georgetown. What was that one?
St. Elmo's Fire.
Except he had a headband on then.
By the way, what about John Parr just remade? And I was looking at Rob Lowe's Twitter feed. He retweeted John Parr news. The John
T-Bow
Parr.
Thing?
Yeah.
God. Why does John Parr have nothing better to do?
I mean, he's desperate for money, I assume.
That explains why we do what we do in terms of Tebow mania. But he should find something better to do. He is
The other one was Rob Lowe reporting on Peyton Manning is literally the craziest NFL story of all time.
Yeah. I bet a lot of people don't watch Parks and Recs and probably don't get that.
Doyle was going after it. He's like, what the hell? He's like, who gives a crap about Parks and Recs? But then he was like, oh, and I just found out that it's not a CBS show. So that's good.
Oh, God. Why would you back? Parks and Recs is fantastic. I was talking to my buddy MDS about this, and I think that we both agreed it's the best show on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
Although he liked the one that's getting canceled, the one with Chevy Chase. I don't watch that one.
Community's fantastic.
Yes, yeah. I never got into it. I like Joel McHale, not personally, but as an individual. But I never got into Community. But I do love Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Parks and Rec's my one. Parks and Rec has nudged ahead of 30 Rock at this point.
30 Rock is so weird now at this point.
Yeah, 30 Rock's Community actually might be two. No, I'm probably 30 Rock 2, Community 3, and then The Office is a distant. Yeah. Distant fourth.
The Office is down there below Philip Rivers, below the furnace.
I mean, I'd rather watch Whitney than watch The Office.
Oh, no, never mind. I'd rather watch Philip Rivers.
Watch Whitney, but I mean, like, I've heard it's terrible. I've heard it's awful, and I'd rather watch it than watch The Office. The Office is just bad. Like, yeah. Are you going to hang your hat on Gabe?
Well, someone, that's our dog.
And I love, and I'm a, I love, 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 the guy who's Spader, James Spader.
Robert California. Yeah. But here's what someone wrote on Grantland when they did a recent review of The Office, that how sad it would be in real life if Jim were still at that job in 8 years. And that's the truth. That's a takeaway, that someone as smart and, you know, funny as Jim would be stuck in that crappy job for 8 years
right. In
the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. But, you know.
That's why America, we've all gotten sick of The Office because – that would never happen. You would never be there that, you know, like if you're Jim, you would never be there that long.
Right.
Also, you, like, if you were Jim and Andy got promoted to boss, you're out, man. You're gone.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you.
All right. So anyway, any other NFL news that we need to talk about?
As long as we're talking about NBC shows, no, I think we're good. Rob Lowe wins the week.
He did indeed.
I hope he does something like throw out the ceremonial coin toss at the Super Bowl. That would be awesome because it will be in Indianapolis. That would be fantastic.
I'll be honest. I mean, I don't want to see Peyton go because Peyton's a great quarterback. I enjoy watching him play. But if Rob Lowe was right on this, it'd be pretty fantastic.
Well, Archie Manning laughed at the –
And Tom Condon was like, what the hell are you talking about, Lockenfora?
What did Lockenfora say?
Buck and Ford called Tom Condon.
Oh, I see. Okay.
At CAA, who's Peyton's rep, and right. CAA has also repped Rob Lowe in the past.
Yeah. I think it's funny. Good for Rob Lowe.
And he was like, have you heard about Rob Lowe reporting? He's like, know. I talked to Peyton last night. If he was retiring, I'd probably know.
That's great. I love that Peyton hasn't said anything about it, nor anyone else. So,
well, I mean, if you're Peyton Manning, you can't be like, what? You can't. I mean, first of all, you might be retiring. I mean, it's not insane.
You better wait until March 8th.
Yeah, exactly. And second of all, you, what are you going to come out and be like, what, that idiot Rob Lowe? You know, I mean, like, you're not going to rip Rob Lowe.
I don't think you'd rip him, but he probably likes Rob Lowe. They probably know each other.
Yeah, too.
I just think it's funny that everyone stopped what they were doing for 4 hours to try to figure out what Rob Lowe was up to.
Yeah, and then to know 24 hours later, we're still talking about it. anyway.
Making Twitter jokes, yeah.
LT, talking about the Jets. Do we need to talk about that? Is that bad?
It's the same story from the week before and the week before that. Just changed the names and the venue. This time he showed up on Showtime, LaDainian Tomlinson, and said that the Jets organization is in shambles. I don't know if that's news at this point.
No, that's true. And
you want to add.
No, I just think that it tells me a lot about
the way Rex Ryan runs things.
Yeah, I think that it's easy to say like, oh, well, the Jets, you know, under Rex Ryan went to two AFC Championship games in a row. I mean, we get caught up in this too, and it's like they're going to succeed; they will keep succeeding. Well, yeah. And then you start to realize that you know they're not guaranteed.
It's kind of speaking of clowns and making weird shows. It's kind of a circus over there too.
Oh, total suckers. Yeah, they're worse than The Office. and on that note, we'll get out of here. Yeah, everyone, enjoy your championship games. Wish me luck as I fire guns aimlessly across the North Carolina coast.
As you try not to get shot in the face.
Yeah, subscribe via iTunes, and we'll see you back on Monday.